Well, dear friends, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, Paul says, "As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And if you've been at church here past few weeks or a couple months or so, we've been saying that whenever we celebrate communion, right? As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're death proclaimers. Isn't that sound kind of weird? Kind of strange? Do you want to be a death proclaimer? I mean, I don't know about you, but in our world doesn't really like that kind of thing. That doesn't fly very far in our kind of world, right? Being a death proclaimer. Our world likes happily ever afters, don't we? We like those kinds of stories. Those are the kinds of things that you and I live for. I mean, I don't know about you, but have you ever watched a Pixar movie? Man, I just cried during those, right? Happily ever afters. That's what our world likes. Proclaiming death? That just sounds strange. No, you and I as sinners, we like to go and find our happily ever afters. And maybe like the robber, we'll sometimes even do whatever it takes. Steal and kill and destroy just to get our happily ever afters. But why does Paul say that? As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Why does he say that? Well, because we as Christians believe something kind of strange, right? We believe that to be with the King is a happily ever after. It is the happily ever after. Because we believe in a King who dies. And why does he die? He dies to bring you into his kingdom by being with you now in forgiveness. So that you will be with him forever in paradise. You know, we read that hopefully very familiar story of the thief on the cross. And it's one of those stories that you're like, well, doesn't this belong like on Good Friday, not like right before Advent? But on this Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year, we focus on Christ the King, Christ who is our King and what kind of King he is. And doesn't this story beautifully depict the kind of King that our Lord Jesus is? The thief on the cross? Because the thief was with the King on the cross. You know, as I was preparing for today, I read somebody that wrote about the thief that pointed out that he was the first Christian convert to believe in Jesus on the basis of sin forgiven by his cross. Everybody else who believed in Jesus before him, yeah, they believed in Jesus, they were fellow Christians, but they had not yet believed on the basis of seeing Jesus on the cross. And it's this thief on the cross who is the first one to look over at Jesus and believe because of the cross, and to believe that forgiveness was possible because of the cross. And if you think about it, this thief had gotten to watch the whole thing, didn't he? He got to watch the passion of Jesus taking his cross up to Golgotha, of being nailed to the cross, of seeing the women weeping, seeing Jesus on the cross, and nobody was weeping for him. But he got to watch them mock Jesus as a king. And then he got to read the inscription above Jesus' head. This is the King of the Jews. And then do you know what he heard? Once Jesus was finally up there, blood dripping from his hands, he heard as Jesus said over his enemies, "Father, forgive them." I kind of wonder if that was the last straw for the thief. Okay. I want whatever he's having. Right? I don't know if it's too late, but I want that. You know, I think that Jesus spoke those words, "Father, forgive them." He spoke those words to proclaim what his cross was doing. That his cross was for the atonement of the sins of the world. And his cross was for anybody who is alienated or hostile to God. And so in seeing Jesus on the cross, this thief sees the kind of king that Jesus is. And you got to imagine for the thief, this is the first time he's encountered a different kind of king. Because the other kinds of kings just prosecuted him justly, right? But the last kind of king is the one that sent him to his death. But this kind of king is being wrongfully executed and is praying to the Father for forgiveness for his executioners. And then what happens next is beautiful. I guess I kind of like to think of it this way. The thief got away with one last scandal, right? The thief got away one last time. The thief got away one last time by coming into possession of something that was not and should not belong to him. Didn't he? And maybe finally, in this last hour of his life, maybe finally the thief's desire for things that did not belong to him finally found its blessed use, right? "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, even on the cross, had given this thief the gift of faith. The gift of faith to see Jesus and believe." And that led this thief to do some incredible things. In fact, some incredibly uncharacteristic things for a thief, right? The thief had the nerve to ask Jesus for an undeserved happily ever after. And not only that, but did you hear what the thief said? This time, he got what did not belong to him legitimately. And he got it legitimately by confessing his sins and believing in the Messiah. Hear what the thief says again. You have one of the criminals who are hanged, railed at Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other thief rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?" And then hear what he says. He confesses his sins. "And we, indeed, justly, we deserve this. We deserve to be put to death. For we are receiving the due reward of our deeds." But hear his confession of faith. "This man has done nothing wrong." And look at what his faith does. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He believes Jesus is innocent. He believes Jesus is king. He believes that Jesus is going to come through this death into life, that he will come into his kingdom. And that he could maybe even remember and forgive sins. of somebody like this thief. And Jesus says to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." On a dark day that you would least expect, through all the horror and gore of that scene, you get a little glimpse of the glitter and gold of paradise. To see there on the cross the way of the kingdom. That scene depicts a beautiful picture. Sinners, sinners of all people, with the King, living happily ever after. That was the thief with the King. And dear Christian, Jesus promises you the same. You with the King. And dear Christian, Jesus does for you the same thing that he did for the thief on the cross. Now here's another connection I want to make. It's to Romans chapter 6. And this is one of my favorite passages of the Bible. But Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Now, as you listen to me read these words, think about the thief on the cross and how this is true for the thief on the cross, but also true for you in baptism. You ready? It says, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Now, here's the uncanny part. Listen to this part. "For if we have been united with him in a death like his," whoa, "we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Today you will be with me in paradise." We know that our old self, the thieves and robbers among us, our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. The thief on the cross is crucified with Jesus, so that what happens to Jesus happens to him, and so that the thief's sins no longer belong to the thief, so that he will rise from the dead just as Jesus rises from the dead. And dear Christian, that is what Jesus does for you in baptism. What he did for the thief on the cross is what he does for you in your baptism. And you got to think about it, right? As gruesome as it was, the death of the thief was perhaps the most blessed death, wasn't it? Perhaps the thief had the most blessed death of all, as gruesome as it was, because he had Jesus there by his side in his dying moments, promising him that he was about to enter paradise. And there's this beautiful truth hidden in there, that for the baptized Christian, you never die alone. You might die alone, but you never die alone, because you have Jesus right there. The one who has promised to be with you always, even until the end of the age. He promises you that you are always with the King. Which is frankly incredible, isn't it? Because we are all like the thief. We are all like the robber. We are all trying to steal for ourselves our own kingdoms, and we're trying to all find ourselves our own happily ever afters in ways that don't come through the cross. We're all guilty of it. We are all people who should be executed just like the thief. We should be crucified. And yet, There's remarkable, amazing grace. For in your baptism, you are crucified with the King. You take the spot of that thief on the cross in your baptism. And the King promises you that you will be with Him in paradise. It's a beautiful thing. And it's there that we see who our King is. That He is the kind of King who goes to the cross with the thief. He's the kind of King who would take on that death even just for the robber. And He's the kind of King who does that for you. And that very same body and blood of Jesus that was crucified next to the robber on the cross is the very same body and blood that you will get here today. Given for the thief and given also for you. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And we proclaim our King's greatest act, forgiveness of sins and promising paradise. We proclaim death. Because when we proclaim death, we are proclaiming a King who promises us a happily ever after. We proclaim death because King Jesus is reigning right now as King through forgiveness of sins and removing the fear and the sting of death. And He's reigning right now, unseating the devil himself from his power. You heard this earlier from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's the kingdom of Jesus that you and I live under right now. And so as another year ends and another year begins, we continue every year under the reign of our crucified King. The King who forgives you, the King who remembers you, and the King who promises even you that you will be with Me in paradise. And that, dear Christian, is our happily ever after with the King. In Jesus' name, amen.